RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. We are finally rolling into the season finale of season five, which seems... This episode just seems like this has been the goal the entire time, Josh. Fifth season, not necessarily a big deal for most shows, but because this one, this show, had the 5 years of flashbacks, and that means we are finally catching up. Oliver's flashbacks are finally catching up to real time, as it were, from the first season. So just kind of a very... I don't know. It's kind of bittersweet, I felt. It was. It feels like a really cool way. Like they could have just kind of ended the series here, except for that last the end, which we'll definitely get to. But this was just a really powerful episode for any number of reasons here.
It ended on a high note for so many different reasons, both for me and for the show and the quality and the emotion and the drama and yeah, wow.
Well, why don't you
blown away literally?
Ba-dum-bum. So why don't you give us a rundown on the particulars about this episode, and then we will be free to discuss it at will.
All right. Will left. He's not with us anymore, but you and I can talk.
Where is William? Where is he?
I bet his throat was getting sore after asking so many times, you know?
Oh, you know what? I'll do an entire episode like that if you can do an entire episode of Slade Wilson.
Okay. All right. I can try that. So the season finale was, no, I can't even do that right now. Okay. Hold on. I'll get to that.
All right. We'll
episode 23 was the finale, season five, episode 23, end of 5 years. Actually, I guess it's kind of the end of 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lian Yu was the name of the episode and the island, and a really nice dish I had at a Thai restaurant once. It aired May 24th, 2017, and it was written by Mark Guggenheim and Wendy Miracle. I would expect nothing less for a season five finale.
Yes.
Than those two writing it right there. Directed by Jesse Warren.
Veteran, yes.
Well, you know, this week's finale is just like old times, kid. It is.
That's good.
You know, I'm talking like this, and you're fighting and punching people.
You know, Oliver's... offers a proverbial bro hug to Slade Wilson in the Argus prison on Lian Yu. And Slade seems to have shaken off any effects of the Mirakuru that, you know, made him make some bad choices.
Interesting take on that, yeah.
Yeah. So Oliver lets him out of timeout, along with Captain Boomerang himself, Digger Harkness. Together with Nissa Al Ghul and Malcolm Merlin, they try to track down Team Arrow and... of course, Oliver's son, William. Now, it doesn't take long for the tables to turn, though, because Boomerang betrays our heroes and flips sides faster than a Survivor contestant. Still, they manage to capture Evelyn, even though Digger and Talia get away. They only have half the team, but Oliver wants to send them away to keep them safe. He knows it's dangerous there. Malcolm is tasked with flying them off the island on Purgatory Airlines, but on the way... Thea trips a landmine, and her loving, sadistic, evil, narcissistic, one-armed father sacrifices himself so his daughter can live. Is this the end of Malcolm? But wait, there's more. Oliver, Slade, and Nissa make their way to a holy temple, which we swear has been on the island this entire time.
we'll get back to that. I got
yes,
notes.
We will.
I have notes.
And that's when our loyal buddy Deathstroke betrays Oliver and hands him over to Chase. Or does he? Really, it was a ploy to get the rest of the team, rescue them, and engage in an epic finale-level fight. Chase has all this planned out, though. He refuses to tell Oliver where William is, and if Oliver kills him, the whole island's gonna blow up. You heard me! Bombs everywhere! Boom! Oliver is a changed man, though. He will not kill Chase, and he even lets him get away. But he tracks him down to a boat, and what do you know? William is right there.
William? So now that's Oliver's, where William is.
That's where William is. He should have looked. So now Oliver is faced with yet another impossible choice. Save his son, or save all his friends. The exciting climax to an exciting season leaves us all with so many questions to ponder and worry about all summer long.
I don't know about you. I'm not worried at all. Everything's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm not going to cry. So
I'm here for you, man. I'm here.
Well, if you guys want to relive all the excitement of Arrow Season 5, it should be showing up on Netflix within the next, well, less than 8 days now. June 1st is when it should be there. I didn't see any official note about that, but based on the Netflix deal they've got with CW, all the shows are showing up 8 days after the season finale, which means my wife is already binge-watching the first season of Riverdale. God help us all. Oh, my God. I'm like, are those the Pussycats? Because they have pussycat ears, and it's just like a two-minute scene of them walking in slow motion down the hallway, which is totally acceptable to me, but I can't really see what that does for the story. So... Also,
well, you know, it's not for everybody, but
it's based on what I've seen. It's like Archie mixed with Twin Peaks. It seems like a very, very bizarre show.
So. It's like that serious version of Scooby-Doo, you know, like the realistic and kind of creepy version.
Yeah. So
it just doesn't fit. All right.
Also, if you want to go ahead and get any episodes of Arrow Season 5 right now, it is also available on iTunes and Amazon. $1.99 or $2.99, respectively, for standard or high definition, or $24.99 for the whole season, either standard or high definition. So that's pretty cool. And then,
yeah, not bad at all.
And then you can pre-order the Blu-ray on Amazon for $36.85. That's right, $36.85.
Why? Why 85?
Why?
Okay.
Some accountant came up with that somewhere. That's they're going to make the most money with that price. It seems cheap enough, but it's just enough that they'll break even. I don't know. So, and
all right. Well, either way, there you go.
The other week we teased Stephen Amell being on American Ninja Warrior, and that has happened. And I have watched his entire run. The dude makes it look like he's cutting butter. I swear, this guy is a beast. And he finishes the course that they had set, which is, I don't know, what was it, like five obstacles? Like,
yeah, it's a much shorter
an abridged course.
Course for the celebrities. And it's the easier, you know, at the beginning of the course, it's a little bit easier than some of the things that come later.
And then he says, you know what? I want to go on because there's a second half, a back half of the course, which the first thing is a salmon ladder. And so he does the salmon ladder and gets onto the next piece and then decides that he's done. But I honestly could not tell that he was even breaking a sweat. I felt like he really could have gone on, but it was also a charity kind of thing he was doing. It was for, was it Red Nose Day?
Yes.
Earning money for his charities. He earned like $35,000 or something like that. And
yeah, it was like $5,000 per obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but he goes to salmon ladder, hops onto the next thing, and it's like, you know, he's not red in the face. You don't see like his arms shaking or anything. I mean, really, this guy is terribly impressive. Yeah. I'm impressed with I'm impressed with him for any number of reasons. There are times when I enjoy somebody's character that they play, or I don't necessarily like what they portray, but I feel they're a good person. I think Stephen Amell really, I don't feel like he's let stardom go to his head. I feel like he's really using it to his advantage with all the good deeds that he does, all the things that he works with his friends to, you know, make sure that money gets raised for all these charities and stuff like this. You know, good guy Stephen Amell.
Yes. So. Very good. So check it out. It is totally worth it. Even if you know how he does, it's worth it. And I swear, this is the summer. I go on the Stephen Amell personal training plan. Oh. So I can get a little bit closer to
awesome.
To his physique.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
cool.
Yeah, I've tried that every summer and I managed to get up out of the chair and spell salmon. That's as far as I've gotten so far, but
it's S A L M O N. Right. Yes. It's just really weird. So I still have problems with that. So
it's the first step to the program, so I'm getting there.
Can you do some video diaries maybe? You know, I think it would be really cool. We can open up a YouTube channel for the show. I mean, you know, the fans might really, you know, how do you go from being a podcaster to being like, you know, a super buff podcaster? I don't know.
Well, I'll let you know if I manage to survive the first video.
I would like to know for myself as well. So that'd be cool.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well,
all right. Well, you guys didn't come here to hear Josh talk about getting ripped. You came here to find.
Hey, how do you know? Maybe they did.
Show of hands.
No.
Anybody?
Okay. Yeah, you were right.
Okay.
All right.
So, but you came here to find out about the season 5 finale. It's what we've been building to. It's not what we've just been building to this year. It's what we've been building to the entire series. So I felt there was a lot riding on this, and I was watching with a very critical eye, and I just thought they really did an amazing job with this. So first off, Oliver has finally come to grips with his alternate lifestyle. I mean, with his, you know, vigilantism. I was kind of thinking the episode should be called Catharsis, which is, you know, the process of releasing or thereby providing relief from strong or repressed emotions. And he's been working around this for most of the season, and, you know, Thea's told him this. Lance has told him this. Diggle's told him this. All these characters have come at this from a different way, but it took Slade Wilson to get, you know, in touch with Oliver, you know, because Chase managed to push Oliver basically to the end of his rope, but Oliver persisted. And, you know, to say that he's had dad issues for the last 5 years is probably really understating this, but like other TV shows about people and islands, Lost, dad issues has really kind of become the new you know, issue for our characters, you know, whether it's superheroes or other dramas. You know, father issues seem to be kind of a big deal in the last 20 years. I don't really remember a lot of shows doing stuff about them really before Lost.
Maybe our generation has some issues we need to deal with, I guess.
And, you know, I mean, not that this is a new invention. I mean, you know, we can go back to, not Odysseus. What's the, Oedipus, you know, I mean,
oh yes.
His original dad issues, you know, back then and whatever, you know, 37 BC or whatever it is. But, so Oliver has, you know, been working around this problem, kind of spiraling around it, and Slade really just kind of, you know, knocks it on the head for him. And it's like, you know, you've got some problems with your dad, and Oliver's like, what? And the fact that we're full circle, we're back at Lianyu, where this happened, as Chase points out at the end of the episode, you know, your dad committed suicide right here, like right where this boat is right now. It was very poetic, the way they put this all in. And I thought that, as we talked about at the end of last episode, bringing Slade back was an interesting choice. I wasn't sure how this was going to work out because Slade has never really been too happy to see Oliver. And you know, there was a lot of concern on my part, like, how is this going to work? But they kind of... I felt like they kind of brushed over it, but they kind of got out of the way right up front, you know, that the Mirakuru wore off from him. Were you interested to see what Slade was going to be doing? Were you looking for that double cross like we had? Well, actually, they kind of faked us out twice in this episode, I guess, with that whole, you know, is Slade really a good guy or not?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I never really felt as if he was going to betray them, even when it looked like he was. I guess it was, you know what it was? It really was that first meeting of Oliver and Slade when he walked into that prison and he told him what was going on. There was just some kind of a brotherly connection between the two of them that I felt was sincere. So
I felt the first turn was, I knew that kind of was a fake out. I felt that was a fake out at the prison cages in the clearing.
Right.
But when he turned and punched Oliver, I was like, oh crap, man. Like they got to him too, which I didn't really understand how that might be possible. I still don't understand the whole thing with Digger, like how they got to him, but.
Oh, Chase was in the prison. Chase went into the prison on the island. I mean,
obviously he had been there to set the bombs and stuff. If I think about certain aspects of this, I'm going to get really upset because stuff with some of the things that Chase was doing.
But remember, Chase had been missing for a while. We didn't know where he was.
Oh, that's true. He drove out of town singing that song.
Yeah. So, he had quite a bit of time to get this stuff. And remembering that he has planned so much of this out, he could have had those bombs on the island before this season even started.
Right. Oliver hadn't been back to the island since season 3, I think it was, beginning of season 3, in between season 2 and 3. So
is that when did he train Thea?
Yeah, I think
on the island.
Because
was that season 3?
I think beginning of season 3 was when, maybe it was the beginning of season 4, when Felicity and whoever and Diggle flew back and had to parachute out. That mm-hmm. one, I think that was the beginning of 3, but it could have been the beginning of 4. So,
okay.
But anyway, so Chase has worked up all this stuff for him and continues to tell Oliver that, you know, one way or another, I'm going to win because I'm going to make you kill me, which, I mean, Chase has continued to get crazier and crazier over these last few episodes, which I think is great. They've really escalated this guy to like, he just manic insanity. Let me
give some props to him right now.
Okay.
For this character, for this performance. For
Josh Segarra.
I should say.
Yeah.
I think this is an example of, the perfect comic book villain in true to life form. It's not too far over the edge to be campy, and yet it's, you know, more exaggerated than real life would be, right? I mean, he's obviously smarter and more wily than really would happen in real life, but it was a really fantastic performance. I was thinking about this as I was watching him, you know, as they were monologuing right before the big fight, right?
Right.
And I thought, this actor, I cannot imagine anybody else playing this part. And I really hope that as they progress toward the future in all of the superhero shows that you and I do, that they get this type of person more than say, a real caricaturized version of somebody else.
I was going to say more than just getting like an actor we've seen before, like last season with Damian Dark. Like I'd rather have an actor portray a character and not really have a preconceived notion, because I think with Damian Dark, that the fact that I've seen that actor in other stuff, it changed my reaction to the character, plus also the choices about how to portray the actor or to portray the character.
Sure.
I mean, so but yeah, Josh did a tremendous job in this, and it's unfortunate that not saying he won't be able to come back in some kind of flashback that they do in the future, but most likely he will not be in the series anymore. But quite a powerhouse to be reckoned with. And he gives Oliver the, you know, this impossible choice, which we talked a little bit about with characters in The Flash this week as well. Oliver has to make the choice between killing Chase and believing him that everybody on the island will die if he does that. Or if Oliver doesn't make that move, Chase will kill his son. So by his action or his inaction, people will die, which is that's a totally dick move. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. And you got to know, as you know, a villain, if you're dealing with a big, powerful hero like this. I mean, didn't he see Batman and Robin? Come on. I mean, that's you know, you have to do, you have to save everybody.
But Oliver doesn't have nipples on his suit.
not so. This season.
Oh, no, wait. That means that they're going to really jump the shark. But Oliver, you know, it's like I was screaming 15 different things that Oliver could be doing because I'm looking at my watch. Literally, we're down to 4 minutes when they're on the boat. And I'm like, they need to wrap this up. And Oliver's doing is just, you know, don't kill my son. Where's my son? Don't kill my son. I was like, you know, and all this stuff. And I was like, just shoot him through the mouth and, you know, paralyze him or, you know, you're not killing him and all this stuff. But Oliver does. He kind of comes up with this third idea and I guess shoots him in the leg or the foot. I was a little unclear. It was quick and not really covered too well. But he rescues his son and then – of course, Chase still has the upper hand in the whole thing and kills himself, setting off the trigger.
Yes. Now I have a couple things to point out about that. I only had one beef with this episode.
Okay.
And that was it. Now, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit, but why not just knock him out? Take one of your blunt arrows and, you know, just knock the guy out.
Even
so he's unconscious.
Earlier, when he's choking him, like, why not just choke him enough to make him pass out? You don't have to break his neck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. now that was my only beef. Now, here's where I'm contradicting myself. Wow. What a parallel of Chase putting the gun to his head on a boat in the waters where Oliver's dad did the exact same thing, which basically created Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And began the island where
yes.
Chase shot himself in the head and ended the island.
Yep. And now basically it's going to recreate Oliver again, regardless of whether everybody is dead or if some people survive. We can come back and maybe we'll talk about that. I don't know if we need to deal with that. No, sure. Of course we'll deal with that. But Oliver will be someone different next season. He will have to. He's already changed a little bit this season, but this whole season has been a growth for him, way more growth than we've seen in any one single season, I think. I would actually argue that he's had the most growth this season. And he will be a new kind of hero next year. And, you know, he will have Chase to thank / blame. Again, it's just they tied so many little tidbits together in this episode, especially with the flashbacks, but also, you know, just echoes from the first season. Like we've been talking about off and on throughout the fifth season here. So, but the next thing I want to talk about is just the guest stars coming back. I knew they were going to kind of up the ante, but this is maybe the crossover episode might have had more characters in it, but there were 14 people, not counting, all the minion folk on the island between Chase's crew, Team Arrow, and Oliver's crew in this. 14 different characters. I mean, that's a ton of stuff to be running around. So we start off with Slade Wilson, Deathstroke. Great to see the return of Manu Bennett. That was awesome. It was really cool to see Oliver what Oliver was going to offer him. The fact that Slade didn't really feel like he deserved Oliver's friendship, but it turns out it's kind of these fathers' quests for their kids. Slade had been looking for Joe for a while before he got locked up. Oliver is looking for William. So that is really interesting. Oliver will help Slade if Slade helps Oliver. You know, and just a nice overall ending to the whole father-son dynamic that we've been talking about here in season 5. Is Oliver a product of his father? Is Chase a product of his father? Now we've got the sons of these characters that are in danger. They treat each other like brothers. You know, I think this may be a hint of things to come in a future season. I mean, who knows? Maybe we can see, potentially, if he's not really dead, more Slade coming back in season 6. Kind of have a few episode arc of the quest for Joe Wilson, who I believe we talked about probably back in season 2, is a metahuman called Jericho. Who was a member of the Teen Titans for a while in the 80s. So
we got all kinds of Teen Titan potential coming up, man. We got Slade's son. We got William, right? We got John Jr. I mean, there's all kinds of kids here that could
John Jr., but.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, really the age difference is, you know, just like 10 years. I don't know. I don't know how old them are, but but yeah, just I like that idea of the father-son dynamic.
Well, if you like that idea, how about a father-daughter dynamic? Nissa versus Talia in a fight for their father's love. Dad hated me more than you. No, he hated me more because he would never let me be in control. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm just going to talk about a whole bunch of daddy issues here with these characters, but
okay.
We had this really cool fight with Nissa versus Talia. I mean, wow, that was pretty cool. And you know, we've known there's been some bad blood there for a while. I really was kind of rooting for Talia. I've really kind of grown to enjoy that character, but I knew that Nissa, you know, would have to. Would win here and stuff like that. But, that was pretty neat. A little bit of, League of Assassins, fighting style coming back in here, tying back into season 3, a little bit there.
Yes, very much.
And then, Digger Harkness, I haven't seen this character for quite a while. And technically it wasn't even on Arrow. It was on The Flash, I believe last season. Early last season. But Digger, we hardly knew you, mate. What a wasted character. I can safely say, out of all the people that, quote, died in this episode, Digger really died. I do not see Captain Boomerang returning to the Arrowverse here.
You don't think so, huh?
There is a slight possibility, a very, very slight possibility. If they do, I feel it's going to be a cheat, that there really is not a good explanation for how he would be able to. I'm going to have to come up with some weird explanation how, like, Team Arrow walks away from this entire season. But yeah. Digger, you know, he was right there with Malcolm when a landmine went off. And it wasn't just a little thing. It was a pretty big explosion, so. While I think maybe the minion folks might have survived, I really feel Digger didn't. But and Captain Boomerang is really one of my favorite, like, top 5 villains for the, you know, Flash Arrow kind of character. So I'm kind of bummed about this. But again, it's the last Suicide Squad character that they hadn't killed off, and this may go back to that whole. They had to get rid of the Suicide Squad members on Arrow and Flash because of the movie. So maybe they're
you're probably right.
Not allowed to do that.
That's too bad. I know. Because I'm with you. As far as a Flash villain, I always thought Captain Boomerang was kind of cool.
And so I mentioned Malcolm Malcolm's been in and out, but we haven't seen him on Arrow here for a while. He's been hanging out with the Legends over on Legends of Tomorrow this season. So, you know.
No. Malcolm's – he's going to be okay. No, he's not going to be okay. But here's what I think happened to Malcolm.
Okay.
How's this for sad? So I think he successfully gets off the landmine and that, you know, go ahead and kill Captain Boomerang.
Okay, yeah.
And then he goes looking around for everybody. He goes, hey, where'd everybody go? I'm fine. You know, I got the bad guys.
Yeah.
And that's when Chase blows up the island and, you know, he dies.
Okay. So he didn't die in the first explosion, but he did die in the second explosion.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's good because seemingly he and Thea resolved their daddy-daughter issues.
Oh, good.
Which was cool. I'm glad that they were able to do that. But again, kind of like you pointed out earlier, on the island here, he sacrifices himself so that Thea can live. Very much a parallel to Oliver's dad sacrificing himself so that Oliver can live on the island, just to die later in the explosion. But John Barrowman had hinted a few weeks ago that he would be taking a break from the Arrowverse, or at least from Arrow, for next season. And now I know why. And then he's really come back onto social media here in the last few days and said he's officially done with the Arrowverse. He will not be showing up on Arrow and not on Legends or anything like that. So I believe it is pretty well said that he did die. Again, never say never, but, you know, so long and thanks for all the fish. I think that's... Aww. Yeah.
Well, you guys know, I'm sure, how much I enjoy Malcolm, but I understand too. And quite honestly, that character probably has run his course.
So. Served his purpose for the five years, right? I mean, I think it was important that he was part of this. Pretty much every important character to Oliver's growth was in this episode, I think. Laurel was, but not the Laurel that we normally know. Black Siren was also more daddy issues with her, right? And not really her issues; it's more of her daddy's issues, right? Quentin has the issues with seeing her, but of course he doesn't let that stand in the way of saving the day and knocking her out, which I thought was an interesting twist. I was not expecting that to happen. But based on the previews, I was expecting to see Black Canary versus Black Siren. And
man, that was cool.
Sonic showdown for the ages here. That was really cool. So I appreciated them giving that little bit of fan service to us there. You know, and I kind of what would happen if these two went vocal cord to vocal cord.
So to speak.
And then, of course, kind of the big surprise guest star right there at the end, which I had to double check to make sure that I wasn't really watching a scene from a previous episode, was Moira.
Uh-huh.
Susanna Thompson was back, and oh my gosh. I miss seeing her on the show so much, Josh. That was one of the saddest sequences I've seen on Arrow. I feel like The Flash really gets me with its heart. There's usually a lot of really emotional scenes on The Flash between like Barry and his dad or Barry and Joe or Joe and Iris or Iris and Barry. But this moment with his mom, we get to see her find out that her son's really alive. And that just that 5 minutes there, whatever, however long that scene was, really, really emotional. I was getting really choked up on that.
It was powerful because we didn't see that in the, you know, the pilot episode one. They didn't show that he was just back
home, right?
Then they would show flashbacks. I can point to three really emotional deaths in this series that really, really packed a punch. And that was the death of Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The death of Laurel.
Yep.
And the death of Moira.
Yep.
Just because they were all so incredibly tragic. So, Yeah, I'm with you. It was great to see her back.
And Digger, you left Digger Harkness out.
That was on a whole nother emotional level. I just didn't.
You don't even go there.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't even think I don't believe I even saw Susanna Thompson's name listed in the opening credits. So again, great job not spoiling that on social media and saying, "Oh, look who's back for the episode" or something like that. In very much the same way when they killed her off, like very much a surprise, and this was a great surprise. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I mean, we got tons of cameos from actors that were on this series throughout its 5 years this season, and I was missing one from her, so I'm really glad that they managed to get that in.
Yep, just having her work for a couple hours, I guess, is all they needed, and I'm glad they were able to get that to work out.
I wish they could have fit the Russian maid in there, but
she was
the only one they missed.
She was just off camera. She was listening in. I think that's what it was.
So. Mr. Kovar, come here. Here's a drink. Oh, he took off in his helicopter. Okay.
Yeah. So with the flashbacks, this episode, obviously, the producers had teased that they wanted to try to connect everything. And, you know, I've talked about this before, mostly I think in season 3, where they would do these weird, like 10-second pieces of or less pieces of the flashback where they just go and jump into something and then jump back. And I remember saying I didn't like those. But here, these really short snippets of the flashback, they really worked well. I thought they really ramped up the adrenaline, though. Did you feel anything with that?
Big time. I mean, I would say it's even more than they ramped up the adrenaline, and this is why I think they worked. First of all, yes, I agree with you. It just kept that dramatic tension going up throughout the entire episode, even when they were just wandering through the forest there, right?
Yeah.
But it also it paralleled what Oliver was doing in present time and showed how he got to this point. And since the entire season was kind of about that, it was the perfect theme, the perfect connection, his fight with Kovar in the past to what was going on with his fight with Chase in the present. Mm-hmm. And so those things all combined together, plus Kovar's sort of monologuing to Oliver as they were fighting, fit so well with what Chase was saying to him.
Right.
And there was one quote that Kovar said to him. He says, maybe you fight better with the hood on.
Yes.
And I mean, how appropriate is that line for where Oliver is right now? I mean, the fact that they even thought of that and put it in there was brilliant.
Well, and the fact that they were paralleling action, but they were polar opposites on characterization. So in the flashbacks,
yeah, from Oliver, right?
Right. From Oliver, Oliver's killing all these bad guys. I mean, he has no compunction about mowing down, basically he kills his last 10 people in these flashbacks right before he gets rescued. Like the day he gets rescued, he's just killed 10 Russians on the island, Kovar being the last one. And, you know, his watch is going off and it's like, all right, my watch is going, I'm not going to, all right, whatever. And snaps his neck, you know, and just goes on. So,
I don't mean to laugh at that. It was just a, sort of the visual of, oh, sorry, my time's up. Hey, I got to cut this short.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to keep, you know, wrestling with you here and doing scissor kicks and stuff, but, I got a boat to catch. And what I also thought it was nice is that it was, you might not have realized this as you were watching it, but we got to see the signal or the Oliver's watch at one point in the future, all messed up on the island. We've got to see the body of Kovar, though we might not have recognized it earlier on. There were a number of other callbacks to things on the island, the airplane, the little camp where Curtis and everybody was at the end. Curtis was up in the little tower. That was a big deal. I think that was all from end of season 1. the plane being something that was important in season two. These monasteries on the island, which I was like, did we really, what didn't we know about these? And then Oliver makes that line where he's like, I saw these once before, but they were from a distance. I'm like, did he really? So did some research. Season two, episode three, Broken Dolls, in the flashback, I think they got off the Amazo, or they were, I don't know, it was with the Amazo, and he and Anatoly saw this temple, which looked like the one we saw in this one. The graphics weren't as good. Very, very small in the distance, and like, but that's all they did. It was like this weird tease, and I remember us like, what the heck was that about? And then they never, of course, came back to it at all. So interesting that they did come back and had these temples, I guess, monasteries, whatever it is you want to call them on the island. It was a nice callback to things that, you know, have made up the history of the show here.
Agreed.
So along with that, we also got some other questions answered. Some of these were things that were have been raised recently. Other ones, you know, are whatever, 115 episodes or what in ever in the making here. So one that I just brought up last week was kind of like, how did Oliver get into the prison here? Like, is there even a guard? Well, they answered that pretty quick. And, you know, Oliver just knocked. The guy was a horrible guard. I don't know. Maybe he knows who Oliver is. So it's like, he's not.
Oh, I'm sure he knows who Oliver is. Oliver's been back to that prison. I think he even brought maybe Slade to the prison.
He brought Digger to the prison with Barry in one of their crossover issue episodes. And he did come back at one point to talk to Slade. I remember there was a cameo at one point, but we've just never seen, you know, the staff or whatever.
Right. Right.
So that was kind of cool. I mean,
they're like in the break room, you know, it's got a hot pocket in the microwave, just drinking coffee.
All of us here again. It's like, all right, fine, whatever. Just stay here. Don't bother him. He gets really cranky. So the other question that got answered that I didn't even really know was a question I needed answered, because I'd never really even thought about it, but I now realized, why is Oliver running to the boat in the beginning of the season one opener?
I guess so.
Because he's like, the boat was out there. It's like, you know, I guess at the time I probably thought, oh, he sees the boat, so he's running for it. But he was running from somewhere on the island. But I mean, why was he running? Because he knew the boat was going to be there, and he was late because he was just finished killing 10 Russian dudes. Like, all this stuff we didn't know back then. It's like,
as one does.
Wow. So I thought that was pretty cool. And we,
do you think, I mean, there's no way to answer this, but I mean, and I'm sure they didn't have this fight and all these details planned out, but do you think that when they had him running toward the island in that pilot, they were like, yeah, he's been doing something on this island and he's running out
they might have. Yeah. You know, it's like when you set that up, it's like, they probably had some little bit of backstory about maybe just like, okay, so he says he's been on the island, but he really just got back to the island because he's been doing some other secret stuff. So maybe they had like that part of it and they didn't know that he was just killing those. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at the time I wouldn't have thought about it, but now thinking back, it's like, yeah, maybe they went that far. And then the other thing I'm glad that they answered was, where did Renee and Dinah go? I mean, we didn't get an exact answer, but they've been chained up here. They also got captured because I didn't feel they really had addressed it that well last week. Whether they really disappeared or whether they knew something was going on and snuck off to be safe, but they, you know, they did get going. So, all right. So, speaking of questions that got answered, we've got some other questions here, like, oh my gosh, that ending. So who's dead? I think we've kind of already covered the first two here, Malcolm and Digger. I think we're pretty clear that because they died from the landmine that they're probably gone.
I'm not going to say for sure, especially because of how they presented that to us. But, you know, based on John Barrowman's announcement, I would say he is probably gone. But I also would be fine with that being left open and eventually, you know, him making a cameo in some kind.
You were right. Tell your brother you were right. So let me just say there are 13 other characters here that I'm going to talk about. So we know Oliver is safe and William is safe. Actually, let me just step back 1 second. When Chase said William had died, that he killed William, I was like, oh, good. Thank God. Because how awkward is it going to be to keep William on the show? It's like, good. Let's just kill him and be done with that. I'm sorry. I'm a horrible person. But that was my thought. I'm glad they did it the way they did it. I was like, oh, of course, Chase is trying to bait him into this. It was, you know, it was very well done. But I just felt from a, like a story and show perspective, it would be easier to have William gone. But so William and Oliver are safe. Chase, not so much. I could see him survive enough to have one more line or something, you know, at the beginning of next season. But boom, big explosion because he's done some kind of surgery and put a dead man switch inside of him. And hundreds of bombs on the island are all triggered to go off when he goes off, even though he's like driving away on the boat. And who knows how far this radio frequency goes? What, like if he gets out of range, like would it have worked? I don't know, but 13 characters. Let's just run these down real quickly. We had Diggle, Felicity, Thea, Renee, Dinah, Curtis, Evelyn, Samantha, Quentin, Laurel 2 from Laurel from Earth 2, Nyssa, Talia, and Slade. Those were all the people left on the island when it started to explode.
Well, you missed one.
I missed one. Who did I miss?
Yeah, that poor guard that was in the prison that got knocked out.
Okay.
He's still there, man.
Okay. You're right. Poor guard. His wife somewhere getting a note that, you know, he's not coming home. But no, come on. They're not really dead, right?
I don't know. No, I don't think any of them are dead.
You don't think any of them are dead? Okay, well, how did...
don't think any of them are dead.
In Josh's headcanon, how did they survive?
Well, I think what happened...
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit there, Josh.
And that's how I think it happened. So I'm pretty confident in that theory. So you guys let me know what you think, and I think I'll be proven right.
That's very clever of you. That's very clever of you.
I have no idea. You know what? There is a couple things that I thought I can't explain any of.
Where are they, Josh? There was a couple. How did they survive?
Can you imagine if he starts doing that to Chase now? It's where?
Yeah.
And Chase is dead. He's just on the boat. He's still asking him.
Yeah.
Where are they? they made a big deal of being by the plane, even though the plane was broken.
Yes.
They made a big deal of showing you the one part that was keeping the plane from not working.
Yes. And they also mentioned a boat, but it was on the other side of the island.
Yeah. So they couldn't have got to that. So that would be one way if they figured out a quick way to fix the plane. So, hey, anybody know which end goes where? Yeah,
we're going to see the explosions happening again next season, and then all of a sudden the plane flies out.
You know what? I do not discredit that idea because that could happen. The other thing is, you know, I know we had bombs literally all over the island, but. Really all over the, I don't know how that would work.
Right.
Maybe they went back in what do you call that temple thing?
Right. So we didn't really know about these temples
before,
right? The monastery temple thing. So there could obviously be more elements to that. I was thinking, well, there is, I don't, you know, who knows how far any one of these things are, but whatever it's, you know, they're going to figure out somewhere. Sure. There is the Argus prison.
I was going to say, yep.
They could have, you know, all gotten down in there, and the guard was already there, so, you know, he could be safe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're going to survive. I mean, can you imagine killing the entire cast?
Well, you know, the press release for next season does indicate that Diggle, Felicity, Thea, Renee, Dinah, and Curtis, as well as Laurel 2 and Quentin, will be on the show again. So really, Nyssa, Talia, Slade, Evelyn, and Samantha are kind of the only ones that are on the cusp.
And they're not even regulars anyway.
Yeah. Now, maybe they also swam out to the Amazo and are hanging out at the wreckage. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know how close they were to the – well, yeah, we do, because Oliver was chasing Chase. and – sorry, I didn't do that on purpose. And, you know, caught him, and he was at the dock, whatever. Yeah. And – so I mean, they weren't that far.
No, from the water line, the shore, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Great stunt of him jumping on the boat too. By the way, that looked really dangerous.
Oh yes.
And then
yes, it looked like, you know, it almost looked like he was on American Ninja Warrior.
And then the oh my gosh, the big fight with everybody where the camera would just kept moving its focus onto the next group of fighters. Logistically trying to figure out how they were going to shoot that sequence, you know, great job for all involved in that. That was pretty incredible. One final thing, just kind of forgotten things, or maybe something they're setting up for next season. Vigilante seemed like it was a big deal earlier in the season.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was kind of hoping for some additional resolution, but since we didn't really get anything with that last week, I didn't expect anything here. But
oh, see, now I thought they were going to reveal that Thea was Vigilante. I loved your theory. I loved your theory. And I thought that was going to happen this week.
A number of people contacted me via Twitter and were just like, what? Are you high? Yes, actually, I was on cough medicine the day that we recorded that. So
he's not lying. He's not lying
at all.
I'm not
lying at all. And so that that could have affected my thinking on that. I'm going to stand by it because it – sure, why not? But
I still think it's a brilliant theory.
It is a brilliant theory. It just doesn't mean it's correct. But it's better to be brilliant than correct. That's where I'm going to stand with that.
That old saying. Yes.
Yeah. But what else do you think, somehow people survive, we all go back to Star City. What's next season got in store for us, Josh? What do you, any thoughts, anything you'd like to see?
Man, they wrapped 5 seasons of this show so well with, you know, the one thing about, are they dead? And man, you know what? I don't know what I want to see next season.
I agree.
What I want to see, I want to see something new. And I'm not trying to cop out or, you know, give you the easy answer, but I really, what I want to see now is I want to see Oliver has now made the full, transition. The full, what do you call it? You know, when a butterfly becomes
the metamorphosis.
Yeah. That's it. Metamorphosis.
His chrysalis
into
was
a cockroach.
The season.
No, wait, that's a different.
No. Yeah. Kafka, not good. So
no, the full metamorphosis into the Green Arrow hero. And, you know, kind of as it was in the comic book, right? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to be that character. He doesn't have to do the things, but
sure.
But I just mean he's sort of got what he needs and he does what he needs to do and he's really good at it. And then something new. I really want to see them do some smaller storylines within a season as opposed to one long season storyline. I'd like to see kind of like what we were seeing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where they were just doing these little –
Seven or eight episodes and then move on to the next little bit. Yep.
They had three this season, which worked really, really well. So I'd love to see them try something like that because it worked so well in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I think they could do it here. And with this new kind of character going, I think they could see that. I would love to see them bring in some more DC Comics characters, maybe some obscure ones we haven't heard from for a while. And just, see where it goes, you know?
All right. Kite Man confirmed. That's cool.
all right.
I think Oliver's, he's still going to be mayor. So they may be working on something where, you know, he'll be able to be Green Arrow again. He'll be able to be mayor, and then, you know, maybe his you know, secret identity will get revealed at, like, in the comics, right? At some point, he kind of...
Sure.
It wasn't a mystery to just the general public that he was out there. I'd love to see some other characters return that we've seen before. Obviously, this vigilante thing would be nice to get that settled. I'd love to see Roy come back at some point.
Me too. Even just for one show.
Yeah,
great.
Even just for the cameo or something like that. And I'm interested to see what they're going to do in lieu of flashbacks. I feel like if they do flashbacks to seasons we've already seen of untold events, I was not crazy when we saw that earlier this season. I can't imagine I will be any more receptive to it, but.
Okay, here's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Now they're going to go 10 years in the future and work their way backwards.
Oh, crap. Now that would actually be kind of interesting to have some flash forwards to something. Wow. Actually, I'm thinking that might be interesting. I know you're kind of joking about that, but.
Well, you know, they did that once before with a couple of flash forwards. It was when we thought Felicity was going to die.
Yeah. It does provide for some speculation. So,
like I said, I want to see something new. I like when they experiment with stuff. So I say go for it. You know what they've – in The Flash especially, they have really taken some classic comic book stories and incorporated them into the Arrowverse, into this, you know, into the real world. What am I trying to say? The TV show.
Yeah.
And I there aren't as many Green Arrow classic stories, like The Flash, you know, these iconic stories that really tied a whole bunch
really
of
it. The, I mean, yeah, well, one of the
but,
main
but
ones.
But there so. Are some, there are some stories that they could do. And I think there's, and they're a little bit more recent, you know, within the last 30 years for Green Arrow, but I think they could,
yeah.
Well, but I mean, as opposed to his entire history, I gotcha. You know, back when he was you know, him and Roy were flying on a spaceship Arrow and going to another planet.
Yeah.
But that was a good one.
So, yeah, well, I'm interested to see, this season really renewed my, vigor for the show, and I'm really excited to see what they got for season 6. So, as are a number of other people. We got quite a bit of feedback. A lot of people from took to Twitter to talk to us after the end of this season finale, and so I've got a number of things here. Why don't we go back and forth? Why don't you take the first one? We'll kind of go back and forth here.
All right. Well, Jeremy said, "Wow, that was a heck of a finale. Oliver's choice was impossible. My faith in Arrow is fully restored after this season." Amen, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Ah, agreed. Got to get some of those people that jumped off the Arrow bandwagon to see if they can come back on with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've been talking to a couple of guys at my work who jumped off after season 3, I think. And I'm like, you know, say what you will about Arrow, but Stephen Amell on American Ninja Warrior. And they're like, "I'm out of here. Shut up. I don't want to hear about this." All right. But one of those people has stayed with us. And this, personally, Josh, this series of tweets from Monica really, really affected me. I am very proud of the work that we do on our podcasts. And it's notes like this that really make it feel worthwhile. Cause there, I think I probably talked about this on the show, but there were times last season where I was like, I really don't even know if I want to continue talking with you, however much fun it is. But I, you know, I didn't want to just up and quit the show in the middle of a season. So, you know, I struggled personally with trying to continue watching. And Monica let us know, she said, "At the end of last season, I wrote you guys and said, I didn't know if I'd be able to go on with the show. I was so disappointed. I've never been so happy to be wrong. Thank you for making me rethink my stance. This season was amazing, and the finale was awesome. Though, if I was rating the CW DC finales this year, I would say Supergirl, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash." And I would have to agree with that as well. I would rate that.
I haven't watched the Supergirl one yet, but after that I can.
Yeah, it was really good. The Supergirl did a good job for putting together stuff on the show. But, you know, Monica, thank you for sticking with and listening to us. I don't care if you really watch the show or not, but, you know, thank you for listening to our podcast. Really, that's what it comes down to.
It's more fun, though, if you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I do. It's a good feeling to know that, you know, we're saying stuff here that people are listening to and responding to. And, you know, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm not just happy that we retained a listener, but, you know, to have someone else to talk about the show and stuff like that. I mean, it's.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm glad that I have people like you and people like Monica and all of you other listeners out there that are willing to stick through this with me and even, you know, through the good times and the bad times and it gives us a chance to kind of share the fun stuff, but also vent a little bit about when something's not working for us. So, I mean, that's why I do this with you, is because it's great fun to talk about it with your friends. So
it's cathartic.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. anyway, yeah, thank you again, Monica. So, well, Brett said on Twitter, did Nissa's line, "I stand with my friends," feel like an underrated big deal, given the nature of her role on the show?
An underrated big deal. I've been thinking about this because I'm trying to figure out kind of how to unwrap this statement, because it went by really quickly. Like, were they really her friends? Is that what he's trying to get at?
You know, based on what Nissa's always been so honorable and with the, you know, League of Assassins and things like that. And now she's really standing by these people who aren't her, you know, it's not the League of Assassins. It's not the people she's dedicated her very long life to. I mean,
but she disbanded the League. I mean, that was the whole.
She did. But the fact that she has, you know, friends, I mean, I guess that is a big deal. It seems like to me that Nissa would stand by these people this, and even against her own sister.
Especially against her sister, you know, but obviously, you know, there, as we've kind of found out, there was a lot of bad blood there. I guess it is a little bit underrated. It didn't really strike me at the time, but interesting catch, Brett. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. That I guess that is a little weird for what's been going on with the character.
Yep.
Armando pointed out. He said, "Loved the hashtag Spartacus reunion on the latest episode of Arrow."
Yeah, that's right.
Now it's more than you guys think. So of course I'm thinking, okay, Manu Bennett, Katrina Law, Nick Terabay. Get this, Jesse Warren, the director, also directed episodes of Spartacus. So, you know, really only missing Cynthia Adai Robinson as Amanda Waller to make it a full Spartacus reunion on Arrow this episode. So pretty cool. Plus, he also Armando also sent us over video of Arrow's Green Arrow's super move from Injustice 2, which...
Yes.
If you guys haven't like watched these super moves from Injustice 2, it's basically you charge up your power and then there's an unbeatable move that will like knock your opponent out. Like Flash has got a really funny one. The Arrow one is pretty amazing. They really go over the top with these, like really, really over the top, but it was fun. So.
It is fun. thank you, Armando. Y'all always have good stuff to say. Tyler also had something good to say. It was really just, yes. Oh, he said, hey, the Arrow season finale was just yes, yes. And that included a little GIF. So, you know, to really emphasize the point.
To emphasize the yes. Yeah. And then Derek said that this was a solid finale, though I was disappointed with how inconsequential Talia ended up being. I thought they were setting her up to be the actual big bad of the season, with Chase being her rabid pit bull, you know, so a few episodes ago. Now, Derek is the one that's written into us that he actually I don't mean to slight him for this. He really did enjoy season 4 and he has not enjoyed season 5 as much. So, you know.
And Derek, I won't slight you because I'm with you. I felt the same about seasons three, four, whatever it was that you didn't like.
Yeah. Now, also, there is another piece of feedback. And Josh, this actually came from you. I believe your yearbook at school. Now, is this your yearbook or your daughter's
yearbook? No, this was my daughter's middle school yearbook.
Middle school yearbook. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And often yearbooks will, they will include things that are going on in the world, you know, pop culture stuff and world events. And so you can kind of remember what was going on at that time during that school year. And they had like the most popular TV shows on a kind of a whole page spread, you know?
Yeah.
And two of the shows that they had on were Arrow and Flash. And they had pictures to go along with them.
Now,
and
then was a season two picture of Arrow?
Yeah. I think they probably just got generic pictures. And based on the labeling of these pictures, I'm not sure how much they knew about it to begin with. Because if you look at the label for our show, CW's Arrow, it says very clearly, Green Lantern.
I was laughing so hard when you forwarded this. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Look at this. They put Arrow in there. And I'm like zooming in to see what it is. Like, why are you saying this is funny? And then I see Green Lantern across the bottom. I'm like, oh, my God. Come on.
Now, there's another possibility that they're giving us spoilers from season six.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think it just might have been the yearbook committee.
Yeah, I blame the teacher that's in charge. They did not have good editorial oversight, but whatever. So,
yeah. Anyway, that was just kind of a nice little laugh for the morning.
that was great. Yeah, you just sent that over this morning too, so I thought that was good. Some other references from the episode here. As I mentioned, we saw Kovar's body, laying in the forest. You pointed this next one out. Like I hadn't had time to go back and look at this yet, but this one's really interesting.
The first line of this episode was. What he said was, the name of the island they found me on is Leon Yu. It's Mandarin for purgatory. And that's the very first line that was ever said on the show in the pilot. And you know what? It really stuck out to me because I guess probably because I've watched the pilot so many times.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of remember how it's the opening is so much different than what they do now. You know, my name is Oliver Queen and blah, blah, blah. So, what a great way to put the bookend on this episode.
Well, and also the flashback when Oliver runs to alert the passing fishermen, you know, as well as being rescued by them, was first shown in the pilot. The whole running over the rocks, firing the arrow into the signal fire, and then the sailors coming off. So up until the point where we see Oliver on the telephone, that the telephone part was new, but everything else up to there of that portion was actually in the pilot. And so this marks the first and presumably the only time that a clip that has appeared that originally appeared in the present day storyline is now appeared in the flashback. And so we now have the connection between the beginning of the first season and the end of the fifth season. So now So now people can assemble their Arrow supercuts of all the flashbacks, segueing right into all of the present day stuff.
I'm going to go ahead and not take the time to do that.
I am not going to do that. I have enough other little projects that I'm working on. So
yes, me too.
Yeah.
Well, and then you got Curtis's one pop culture line this week.
Yeah.
The plane, Bart, the plane.
From
that was a horrible Hervé Velichez imitation.
Yeah. So from Fantasy Island, which would make the second Fantasy Island reference in the shows that we podcast. There was another one on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. about four or five episodes ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Very much stands out to me. So, well, Josh, great episode, great end to a great season, or let's just say a better season. I think, I don't know, season two still stands out as a really, really, really strong season for me.
Boy, I don't know. This one may have beaten it for me.
Really? Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think this one may be my favorite season.
I got to say.
And I don't pick favorites.
I know. You've got, 20 kids? It's really hard for you to pick the best one and stuff like that.
I got a few.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, through all your classes and stuff like that. So.
Oh, thank goodness. Whew, I thought I was
you knew something else. It's like, where's William? but Chase, awesome villain. And, you know, I'd really love to see I would really love to see Slade fight Chase a little bit too. That would have been interesting. I would have liked to have just seen Slade do a little bit more. I'm kind of miss him. I realize now. Yeah. So.
But he's been sitting in a prison. He's probably not in the greatest shape.
Right now, he needs to shave too. So, well, you know, thank you guys for joining us for another exciting season of Arrow here on Green Justice. But that's all we've got for this episode and for this season, but fear not, like Josh said earlier, we will be back for the sixth season on the CW. We'll be podcasting about that. And we are planning on doing three summer specials like we have done the last, four breaks that we've done between seasons here?
Four breaks.
Yeah. And so if you guys have anything that you would like to have us discuss, you know, please let us know. So, but for now, that's all we've got for this week's episode. So join us next year.
Yeah. And you know what? We hope you guys have enjoyed this season as much as Jay and I have, for sure. And hope you enjoyed us talking about it, because if you have, I would like to ask if you could just go over to iTunes and just take a minute or two to write us a quick, good review, to share it with everybody so they can write in their thoughts and discuss it with us, because I love hearing this stuff from you guys. It's a lot of fun to talk about it with as many people as we can. So if you want to just send us an email directly, you can get a hold of us by sending an email to greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can go over to Twitter and have fun conversations over there, and then you can tag Stephen Amell and anybody else you want to. That'd be fun too. @GreenJusticePod is where we are over there. Of course, our Facebook page is facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
Well, you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I podcast about, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is done for the season, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which just finished up this weekend as well. You can find all those on randomchatter.com. And the shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy the podcast, share us with your friends. Let them know that the Arrow's getting better or has gotten better. And let them know if they want to hear some interesting commentary, to tune into our show. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.
I should have practiced my Slade Wilson.